like, I know you're like talking about topiaries. Well, we can talk about all this stuff.
Talk about topiaries?
Yeah, topiaries.
Let's talk about bushes.
Bushes?
Let's talk about bushes.
70s bush?
The Wait, podcast what? On Sundays at 11 a.m.
Mm, you're listening to
Talking About Bushes.
Smooth bush.
And would that be talking with a G?
Does that mean it's shape?
Well, smooth bush.
Up to a point.
Coming to you live from Brazil. Smooth bush.
The ant monkey dance.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Dance Monkey Dance. I'm Chris.
I'm Brandon.
I'm Kristen.
And filling in once again, because John is still in parts unknown. I can tell you he's now on the West Coast.
Oh, is he?
Yes.
Which part? Can we ask that question?
In the middle?
He was in San Diego.
Okay.
San
Diego.
Excuse me.
Will's vagina.
Oh,
we do not know this is Will.
Oh, wait, what?
No. Anchorman?
No, I've never
Ron
seen Anchorman.
Ron Burgundy?
Are you shitting me?
No.
Okay, I'm not a big Will Ferrell
yeah, but
okay.
Still, fan.
But this is an iconic character.
Dorothy Mantooth is a saint.
Who?
Dorothy Mantooth.
Yeah.
Okay, if she's not getting the references, I'm not getting the references.
Oh, come on.
Okay.
But no, it's Anchorman.
No, I've never seen Anchorman. I've never seen Anchorman 2.
Well, I can understand.
I've seen
Black.
Blackity black black black.
Two, maybe three Will Ferrell
Which
movies.
Which of those three movies? Oh, let me see if I can't guess.
Do you know Sex
Step
Kid?
Brothers?
Yes.
Semi-Pro?
No.
Night
Zoolander?
Of the Roxbury?
Nope.
Dude.
You haven't seen Zoolander?
Zoolander?
Nope.
Oh my god.
Not
gosh.
A big Ben Stiller fan either.
What?
Okay.
Okay, Tropic Thunder?
Oh my gosh. I appreciate the surrounding characters.
So
we appreciate your time at Dance Monkey Dance Podcast. This has been Brandon.
Peace out.
So
barely got to show you a whole bunch of movies.
Maybe that's what we can pick next time.
Look.
We can do each other's hair.
Are you going to braid it?
Okay, yeah. So it's Step Brothers, old school.
Have you seen Elf?
I have seen Elf, but I don't
count that.
I don't really count that.
No, it's really not a Will Ferrell movie.
John Favreau.
And the only other movie that I've seen a bunch of times that has him in it is Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Okay.
Not familiar.
So those are the only ones. Like, other than that, I don't really find the dude funny. Like, and I know people are like,
Anchorman.
My mom
so
doesn't
cute.
Like him either.
Yeah,
but
no,
she's at least seen Anchorman.
But Anchorman,
well,
like, Anchorman's one of those movies like Zoolander that just grows and grows and grows.
Okay.
And it's like I can quote that movie back.
Okay, so you have Anchorman and Zoolander, and then you have Anchorman 2 and Zoolander 2, which are probably, from what I hear, two terrible sequels.
They are. Well, I liked Anchorman, I think, is a better sequel than Zoolander 2, because
okay.
I felt like it was just as crazy as the original.
I feel like
Whereas
it waited too long.
Zoolander
well,
did.
See, that's
yeah.
the thing. Who was asking for Zoolander 2? Who was asking
well,
for
that,
Anchorman 2?
Well, the whole thing was, I felt like it was supposed to be like a lot. I felt like there was genius there that was just edited improperly, because I felt like it was supposed to be Two-Lander. That was the original title.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, I'm on board with that. And then they changed it to Zoolander number 2, which is a pretty good reference, but,
right.
you know, it got really, really fashion specific rather
okay.
than just being like an indictment of the fashion.
It didn't
system.
Feel organic like the first one did.
Yeah. It felt like they were thought about it way too long.
Yeah.
I mean, do you think that either of them were cash grabs, that somebody was like, you guys should do this, and they were just like,
no,
whatever.
I don't believe either of those. I believe that like Will Ferrell and Ben Stiller, regardless of what people think of them, are very much in tune to like, what do we want to do?
Okay.
What's the best way to do this? I think they were just trying to honor the originals.
Okay.
They felt like they had a good idea, and whether it worked or not is for you, the viewing audience.
See, I can take people like Will Ferrell, Ben Stiller, John C. Reilly. I can take those people when they're in smaller roles.
John C. Reilly's an acting genius, though.
Well,
Will Ferrell
yeah, but I
not.
Remember him as a serious actor.
That's what I'm saying. Magnolia.
Yeah,
like,
he can be both.
Like,
he's very diverse.
But I don't think, like, comedy-wise, I think he's trying to keep up instead of...
Have you watched his, like, Cartoon Network stuff?
No.
That's, like, it's... Tim and Eric, are you familiar with Tim and Eric?
No.
It's very, like, nihilistic comic humor.
Okay.
It's just like for example, like it, the 3 minutes of Tim and Eric's $1 billion movie or $1 million movie, whatever the hell it was, is them like going, shrimp bombarding dong, shrimp bombarding. It's like 3 minutes. He's like, shrimp? Is he say, it sounds like shrimp. And it's just like weird shit like that.
Okay.
It's just like not Bob Odenkirk. It's you have With Bob and David or Mr. Show with Bob and David.
Right.
It's the next step beyond that and weird.
Okay. I mean, look, I'm the first one to admit that when it comes to movies, I have a very narrow focus.
Which is
sci-fi, fantasy, the comic book stuff.
Okay.
I like some action adventure, but I don't stray too far into comedy.
Okay.
And
what's your favorite comedy movie then? Wow. I'm sorry. Geez. I'm sorry to kill your second
comedy.
Born.
That's a really difficult question.
Wow. Should it be?
Apparently.
Or what are some of your favorite comedies?
Top five.
I mean, are we talking like teen comedies from the 80s, like
that
kind of shit?
I mean,
I grew up on 16 Candles, Breakfast Club,
Ferris Bueller,
that kind of stuff.
We may have discussed this before, but we've seen every single John Hughes movie.
I'm sure you have.
I made a list.
There's a list.
I'm sure there is.
To completion.
But yeah, so we watched, like, there's a there's 16 Candles in there, and there's a Breakfast Club, but for every one of those, there is a Dennis the Menace and right. A Baby's Day Out.
Ugh. Okay. I mean, see, that's where you and I differ, though. I mean, you guys will sit there and watch an entire
body of work. Well, we thought it was a good idea at the time.
I didn't think it was a good idea because before
The Voice of Reason.
Before Home Alone, there was Dutch.
They're similar, though.
Well, yeah, but I mean, even the similarities, they're pretty brilliant inside of their similarities. The
Home Alone and Dutch is similar?
No.
John Hughes movies in general.
Movies.
He has a
curly
formula.
Right.
And it works. It worked really, really well in the 80s.
But he follows his own formula very, very to the number.
Okay.
And some of his dialogue can be pretty brilliant, even in those bad films. But, you know, you have to watch a baby fly across a building into a gorilla's hands in order to get there.
Terrible movie.
Baby's Day Out. Jesus.
So, yeah, I mean, so... I appreciate stuff like that. I appreciated Tropic Thunder on the supporting cast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, for some reason, Ben Stiller to me gets extremely grating, like, when he's trying to be funny. Like, I would much rather see him...
In Permanent Midnight?
I don't think I've ever seen that.
It's the movie, it's based on the guy who wrote Alf. He had a serious heroin addiction.
Oh, okay.
That sounds like a comedy.
Wow.
It's not a comedy.
Okay. So Meet the Parents.
Yeah.
I thought was a really good film because he isn't being the Ben Stiller character.
Did you watch the Ben Stiller Show?
No.
Okay.
No. I mean, again, I know I'm very...
No, that's fine. It's taste. Honestly, I don't think there's any genre that's based on taste more than comedy. There's nothing more serious than comedy. Because, yeah, I mean, you can go for something like just like sappy, like a Patch Adams, which a lot of people don't like. You can go something that's like Full Tilt, like Anchorman, or you can do parody, which is the scary movies.
Scary movie movies?
Yeah, the scary movie movies.
The series.
Yeah, I mean, I'm never...
There's Scary Movie 1.
I've only really seen...
3, 4, and then 5.
Is that the one that had Star-Lord's wife in it?
1, 2, and 3 did.
Was there a scene where, like they're having sex and the dude shoots her to the ceiling?
One.
That's one. Okay, that's the only one I've seen.
That's the best one of them all, I think. It's the only one that's...
If you're going to rank the scary movies...
It's 1, 4... 2, 3, and 5.
Okay.
5 is by far.
I mean, look, I'll take your word for it.
Write into your local congressman if you disagree.
I don't think I'll ever sit down and watch them.
I 100% would not.
Just watch the first one, and if you've seen it, then cool.
Okay. I would skip Date Movie. I would skip Meet the Spartans. I would skip Vampires Suck. I would skip...
all the other ones that they've made, basically.
Okay.
They're terrible.
Okay.
They're
I mean, awful. I don't... I don't think I've seen any of those. I don't think I will.
Disaster movie?
Look.
Superhero movie.
I'm old enough to be like, I don't want to go back and like go down that path anymore.
So, well, I think like Ben Stiller's got a very like a comic sense about him. So okay. I can understand if it's not accessible.
I mean, I like him better as a director, I guess.
Well, I mean, that was Zoolander.
Well.
Not Zoolander.
Yeah, he was also in it.
That was directed by Justin Theroux, directed the second one.
Well, I take, well, because I also really liked Reality Bites.
Yeah.
And he directed that and was in it.
Our friend Brooke would like them.
Yeah.
But he wasn't like
No, he wrote it. No, he was.
The main?
He was in it, he wrote it, and he directed it.
Hmm.
Because, like, that, it's just whatever. He doesn't, like, stick to one comedy genre. Like, Reality Bites is kind of like the John Hughes.
No, and then on the other hand, like I thought Cable Guy was so weird.
Brilliant movie.
Well, okay.
Not brilliant, but...
I think it is pretty brilliant. I think it's one of the best dark comedies out there, especially in the 90s.
Okay. Oh, sure.
Polaroid was pretty great.
Okay.
Polaroid was
I'm sure this will kill you. I'm not a big Jim Carrey fan.
I don't give a shit about that.
Okay. All right.
Robin Williams. Were you a Robin Williams fan?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, we're friends.
Then we can be friends. This can continue.
Now, see, with Robin Williams, I liked more of his comedic stuff and not so much his serious stuff.
The 1977 classic, Can I Do It Till I Need Glasses?
No.
Yeah.
I'm talking more like...
I found that in a video store in Newberry.
What's the one, the one-hour photo?
One-hour
photo.
That's
amazing.
That's really bizarre.
With Matthew Vaughn.
Is it Matthew Vaughn?
Mm-hmm. Whoever was in Northern Exposure.
What's the other like real serious one that he did?
Good Will Hunting. Good.
No, I don't count that one.
He did
him starring
Night Listener. You're thinking about Insomnia.
No.
Oh dang.
No. What the fuck am I thinking of? Robin Williams, serious. The one where he dies.
What Dreams May Come?
Yes.
His wife.
That's a pure piece of shit.
His wife.
No. Yes. Yes.
Did you like his movie?
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay.
I don't like his serious stuff. Like when you get into that kind of stuff, that was so out there and so weird. I was like, no.
It was super bizarre.
So I'm watching that movie. Or I watched the trailer.
Uh-huh.
The trailer got me because I'm a sap all the way around. So I'm like, every time the trailer comes on, I'm like, it's okay. It's all right. It's going to be good. I want to read one of this movie because I'm the biggest Robin Williams fan. Literally, I found that 1977 movie, Can We Do It Till the New Glasses, and the movie warehouse in Newberry, South Carolina. You can rent it for, what it was like four rentals
cents.
For a dollar. No, it was four rentals for a dollar for a week for those old VHS tapes. Which
so for a quarter.
College. Right.
For a quarter, you got to see this movie.
Well, I don't know if you can only rent. Maybe. I don't know. Not the point. So
you could have a piece of bubble gum or you could rent a movie.
Right. So I rented this movie, and I watched everything that he's done. And I didn't force anybody else to watch it. Don't worry. but I basically, that was actually when that kind of started for me, was when I started making lists. But I got so excited about that movie because I'm a huge Robin Williams fan. Robin Williams Live at the Met, I think, is possibly the best stand-up of all time.
Okay.
It's even better than brilliant things like Richard Pryor's Live on the Sunset Strip and things like that. So I'm watching this movie, and I got so excited about it, I read the book ahead of time,
mm-hmm.
which is a major mistake in this case. It's Richard Matheson wrote it. The Twilight episode where he breaks his glasses,
mm-hmm.
you know, the Incredible Shrinking Man, I think, is his.
Okay.
There's a whole bunch of Richard Matheson stuff. Richard Matheson is to 50s and 60s and 70s, the Omega Man. I Am Legend,
yes,
written by Richard Matheson.
Okay.
So he's like this theologian science fiction writer. So there's all of this theology in What Dreams May Come.
Okay.
So it's like based on reincarnation, the mm-hmm. Buddhist thought, Christian thought, mm-hmm. Jewish thought, etc. Just
a
brilliant movie. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, like he has to dig down to the depths of hell, and he goes through, like, spoiler alert, 10 pages, 15 pages of telling his wife why he loves her. And I'm like crying reading this book. And I'm like, this is an amazing book. And I'm going to loan it to everybody in Jesus. And the first person that I loaned it to took it. But it's just this amazing book. And I'm watching this movie and it has nothing, none of that.
Right.
And it embraces none of that.
So it bastardized the book.
It did. So because like it literally Cuba Gooding Jr. goes, I don't know who's up there. And I'm like, you're part of the whole afterlife.
Right.
You're
How can you not
know
all
of that?
So I'm like pissed off at the movie. I hate it.
Well, you know, for me as an atheist.
Yeah. Like, no, well, I think you would have even found it like.
Like, I can appreciate the visual effects and all that kind of stuff, but like the message of like that whole thing, I just was kind of lost on me, I guess.
I think the book, well, I think as an atheist, you can at least like, it's cool. Like, I'm not Jewish. I'm, you know, so, but I took Jewish studies because I'm like, I want to know about that.
Right.
So, like, in reading all this stuff, you know, because if you're a believer, if you're a non-believer, you got to know why.
Right.
You know, and so I felt like I needed to know why. So I took a Jewish studies course because my best friend was Jewish. So I read up on all that stuff for as much as I possibly could at the time. And so, you know, that's kind of how I felt about the book. I think the book can be interesting to even someone who is an atheist.
Oh.
So read the book.
I'll put that on my list.
It's in a book. Reading Rainbow.
Can you go anywhere?
I can go anywhere.
Where are you going to look?
I don't know. That's not the lyric, is it?
Just take a look.
Take a look.
It's in a book.
Reading Rainbow. Sing it, Chris.
I don't know the words.
Reading Rainbow.
Rainbow, Rainbow, Rainbow.
Okay. Sorry. Oh, good. That is still recording.
Yeah, it didn't cut off.
Your singing has ceased the recording.
Okay, I broke the machine. So, yeah, who do you enjoy comedy-wise? Sorry.
Like, acting-wise?
Yeah.
Like, see, I don't watch a lot of comedy. Like, if you're talking stand-up, my all-time favorite is George Carlin.
Okay, the 6 words you can't say. 10 words? 6 words?
Well, it depends on when you saw him in his career. Okay. It starts out as 7 dirty words.
7 dirty words, thank you.
By the time I saw him in the late 90s, it was up to like 12.
Wow.
Like, he just kept adding on to it.
When did you see him?
Wow.
I saw him in a little nightclub in New Jersey. It had to be like 100 people. And he was working out new material, and I don't remember how we got tickets. But it literally was like, I know this is a podcast and people can't see this, but it was like me to the door. He was standing at the door.
About 15 feet.
About 15 feet.
I was going to say less than 20 feet.
Yeah. I mean, it was an incredible thing because he ran through all the classic stuff. He tried out a bunch of new stuff. And he sat there and he read off like cards and stuff. Like he had just come back from a heart attack. And and he was just standing there, and it was so cool because I had grown up on George Carlin.
Yeah.
Like everything that I had listened to comedy wise up until then was George Carlin and all that kind of stuff. So to see him, it was
because
it was like Mr. Conductor, like standing up there, and it was
we just saw Rich Little, and we were literally sitting, not even a seat away. We were in the very front row.
Like
literally,
the stage
was less than a foot away.
Wow.
So I'm just like looking up at him the entire time.
He's like, I wonder how John Wayne would feel about this. Like, just like...
Really? Is he still doing all that shit?
Yeah, he is. It's amazing.
Is his stuff dated, though, to the point where, like, if you don't know... If you weren't alive in the, like, late 80s, you wouldn't know,
or if
like,
you don't, like, delve into a little bit of history.
Okay. He's, like, doing Buddy Hackett weird shit like that?
I mean, I think he's smart enough to kind of come up with new stuff.
Okay.
But at the same time, like... you're there to see his classic stuff. Okay. And we were the youngest people in the audience by 15 years at least. So, like, he's like, you may not know this show. And then, like, the 75-year-old people over there will be like, I remember that show. And then they throw this teeth at him to clap for him.
Nice.
We saw him. We saw Don Rickles.
See, he's one of those people that I regret, like, not seeing.
Don Rickles?
Yeah.
I think we might have killed him.
Yeah, we pretty much kill everybody.
What did you do?
Well,
we saw Robin Williams,
and then the next year he died.
We saw Don Rickles within six months
he died.
We killed Roddy Rod Piper. We have killed
so many people.
Yeah, like murderers. A lot of people.
Apparently,
I'm hoping Neil Diamond can last.
That's why I'm really like afraid. I really want to go see Paul Simon, but I'm really afraid to go see Paul Simon. Because I don't want to kill that man.
Okay, but what about all the people that you guys have met at, like, Mad Monster and all that kind of stuff?
Some of those are from Mad Monster. Richard Kiel? Well,
Richard Kiel died the year after we went to Mad Monster. Roddy Red Piper died the year after we went to Mad Monster. Like there's at least one to two people per year that pass away.
There's a chick, too. I can't remember.
China?
She passed away.
Yep, and she was... Yep.
So, she got the biggest, like, shit in the face, like... the day she died, wasn't that the day that it was either Prince or David Bowie died?
Yeah.
And it was like this poor woman, like struggled all her life, and like
she was like she's like one of the biggest female wrestlers.
And then had to share the day and then with had, this icon.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I don't think she shared the day.
Well,
at all.
Okay.
No, she got buried. Like
literally.
Was it Bowie or?
I think it was Bowie.
So yeah, I mean, it was like oh, China died. And I was like, oh man, that sucks.
Oh,
Bowie
David.
Died.
Oh gosh.
Holy shit.
Devastated.
Wait, who was the other person? Like everybody just completely forgot.
That happened a lot of times last year. Like a lot of times last year.
Yeah.
Like I remember going through, like they have that column over on Facebook where you're like, news, this is the person who's died today.
Right.
So it was, it was gruesome. It was a bad year, especially for actors and musicians.
Yeah, well, 2016 was just.
Yeah.
It was just
That's why
show.
Everybody was like, fuck 2016.
Yep.
Yeah.
But just think, there's some alternate reality where 2016 was a really good year. And those people are like, fuck you all.
Everybody else died but those people.
Yeah.
So it's just Prince and David Bowie hanging out after the apocalypse.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's what heaven is. It's just a flip side. It's like the Tales
it's
from
the
Dark
flash,
Side.
Like,
right.
I got that. Sorry. I mean, I
so,
got that
so,
this past Christmas.
So, okay. As an atheist, let me ask you this question.
Tales from the Dark Side?
No.
I love it.
So... You believe in heaven. You believe that when you die, you go to this place where all these other people are.
I'm unsure of that because I personally have questions about that.
Okay.
I think you're ignorant if you think you can answer those questions.
Well, but I mean...
Supposedly.
Supposedly,
yes.
Right? Yeah. So can you just go up to Bowie or does he have security in heaven?
Like what's up, man? Did those security guards make it?
Yeah.
Or were they taking a cut?
Yeah, but don't you think he's got new security guards?
Yeah, like all of his fans.
See, we talk about this kind of shit all the time. Yeah. Like this kind of shit pops up.
Yeah.
Is John an atheist as well?
No.
Okay.
He is, what does he say? He's spiritual, but
he's lazy.
Well,
he doesn't listen.
But when we worked together on Good Friday, he wouldn't eat fish. And it was like, but you say you're not.
I fed my best Catholic friend fish on Good Friday this year.
But it was after midnight.
But isn't that one of those things like it's not really a sin anymore?
See,
this is all the problems that I have.
I feel like you feel it.
I feel like if God gets pissed over fish, then you've got a larger issue than
okay.
that.
He multiplied fish.
So you two would say that you're religious?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Not just spiritual, but religious, yes.
Okay, so let me throw a scenario at you.
Okay.
This is something that actually comes from my real life.
Okay.
So my parents had a friend, like my dad was in the Navy with this guy.
Mm-hmm.
After the Navy, they started going to reunions. They caught back up. They became really good friends with him and his wife. He dies.
Okay.
The wife, after a couple of years, marries his best friend.
Okay.
Whose wife had also died.
Okay.
Who when they die, who do they spend eternity with?
That's a question that
I've
had for years.
It's going to be a nice orgy for them.
See, that's...
No, that's a good question. And that's a question that I don't really care about.
Well, maybe they live in one house together.
Because it spins around in my brain for a while, too. It's not that I did, I'm like, stupid question. But, I mean, these are the questions that you're never really...
I know, but I said that to my very religious mother. I was like, so when she dies, who does she spend eternity with? And she was like, I guess they go back to, their original partners.
That's theoretically
but
what
they
happens.
Actually love each other. Like, there's this weird,
Well, but I mean, which love supersedes?
Right, exactly.
There is an 80-some-odd-year-old woman who goes to church with us.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so she's up to husband number 3. But there was a way that she talked about her first husband.
Okay.
And would tell they would tell fantastically, in their 70s, tell fantastically dirty stories about each other. She'd be like, we came home and we just got, we started yelling at each other over dinner. And then he flipped over the green beans and we had sex on the table.
Nice.
So,
okay.
From an 80-year-old woman.
From an 80-year-old
She's
woman.
She's super spunky.
Yeah. So,
and she did bring crotchless panties to the garage sale.
Nice.
That is true.
Yes.
Yeah. For the church garage sale.
Oh, yes.
Nice.
Church garage sale.
Okay.
So what do you do with them now?
Well, you'd hope that somebody can use them.
Well, I'm sure you bought them.
Put them over his head.
Yes. But no, I think that it all depends on like who you personally want to be with.
Well, what if poor husband number two was really in love with her, and she's not in love with him? Like, see all that
shit.
That's
a good question, isn't it?
Maybe the day. Maybe they split days.
Split days, like Monday, Wednesday, like AB block.
You get a neon. You get a neon.
That's right. And you get an Egon. You get to hang out with Egon.
Yes, there you go.
That'd be awesome.
Okay, I mean these are
no,
the things.
These are,
yeah,
you, all the questions that,
that
you
doesn't
have,
really make a lot of sense.
We
to me.
Have as well.
Okay,
you know, as a religious person, you know, I think that those are the questions that if you don't ask them, then that's. I think there may come a time where you just got to go. I just got to take this on faith on some level. Okay. But I think anybody
see, that's,
who
that's,
does it all the time.
That's where I we differ.
Yeah,
is right there because
is the faith part.
Is the faith part
yeah,
because
I get it.
To me it's like you need to have some concrete facts and evidence.
Well, there are
and
some
like
concrete
that.
Facts, but I mean,
facts about what?
Life. It's just the facts of life.
Yeah, it's just a weird way to look at it. Like the Bible, for example, it's supposed to be, you know, God's word handed down from God to man, but at the same time, it's been filtered through 15 dudes.
How many people?
Right.
So yes, it is, but
yeah.
Okay.
Well, like God breathed, God inspired, but you've played the telephone game, and you
right,
know
exactly.
Things
well,
get altered from
well,
time to time.
Even when I was religious, I always took it as
it was last Tuesday.
No,
no, I know.
Several last Tuesdays.
Yes, lots of Tuesdays ago. I always felt that the Bible was like a teaching tool to teach people morals, even though you don't need that book to teach you right from wrong.
Right.
But, you know, when I study things like Noah's Ark and look at all of the...
Now, that I think is factual.
I think
agree?
They found part of the Ark. I
mean, well, okay. So,
to a degree.
So in the research that I did, like the amount of... cultures and religions that have the exact same story with different people.
Right.
And the way that it was explained to me was that most people lived by a river back then, just for ease of getting water.
They had to have water, yeah.
Rivers flood. Every river floods at some point. So if it had flooded like New Orleans flooded.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You would literally think that that was the world flooding because as far as you can see is everything that you know is underwater.
Mm-hmm.
And the amount of cultures and things like that that have that story about a guy that saved a bunch of things according to their deity is mind-blowing. And the fact that to me that Noah's Ark is the right version of that that doesn't hold a lot of water, I guess.
Or lack thereof.
Or lack thereof. I don't know.
No,
there's holes in every story as far as I'm concerned.
There's also, I mean, even look at evolution. There's people that don't believe in evolution. If you don't believe in evolution, I personally think you're stupid.
Right.
Because there's proof that things have evolved.
But I also think that people who are so... I watch, especially Bill Nye, the science guy.
Right.
Who's that British guy? William. He really frustrates the shit out of me.
William. There's a lot of British
William.
No, no, no. I mean, they're
Prince William?
Yes, Prince William.
Prince William.
He's a British guy.
If you're listening.
He's in science. I can't remember. It's not William Devane. He's just the bad guy in Die Hard 2. I don't know.
I feel like your brain's going to
explode. Yeah, I'm sorry. But anyway.
William Sadler?
No, that's William Sadler. William Devane is the president from 24, season 6 or 7.
Okay.
He's awesome. Anyway.
Sure.
This guy basically, to be a Christian and to be like, you don't believe. Whatever.
William Watson?
No. he's a scientist, English scientist.
He's a physician and scientist.
Has he written God's So Stupid or something like that? I don't remember. But to have Christians be like, well, you're so stupid because you don't believe. I think that's ignorant. And in the same way that I think it's really like harsh for like atheists to be like, and if you believe that, you're an idiot.
Well, you know, yes.
I think like that's...
Yes, and but see, that's the difference between being an atheist and an anti-theist.
Yeah.
Atheists say, believe what you want.
Yeah.
I don't believe what you believe.
Yeah.
But anti-theists are like, you're fucking stupid.
Richard Dawkins, maybe?
Richard Dawkins.
Richard Dawkins?
Yeah.
You have problems with Richard Dawkins?
I hate that guy.
Okay.
I
he is an anti-theist.
Yes.
He has a
super problem with him.
Yes.
Because I think to believe that you're right over everybody else is just as stupid as saying, well, God, you know, you're going to go to hell if you don't believe.
But see, in my opinion, well, I shouldn't say in opinion, in my...
Experience?
Experience, thank you. I have had people back away from me mm-hmm. when I told them I was an atheist. I have had people tell me that I'm worse than killers and rapists.
Okay.
Oh.
I believe that about Richard Dawkins. And also Richard Dawson, the host yes, of Family Feud in the 80s.
Okay.
So there seems to be a handbook that's handed out of how to argue with an atheist that
yeah.
everybody I've ever told that I'm an atheist to has said the same stupid things to me. Like, oh, you believe in evolution? Yes, I do. And they're like, well, if we descended from monkeys, why are there still monkeys? And it's like, because we're, so not descended from monkeys, not you same, motherfucker.
Like, I don't understand, like, how you can... I think it's weird that people
know.
Who believe in evolution don't think of it, like, as a plan.
Yeah, like, especially if they think God has a plan. I mean, obviously
yeah,
he's not going to, like...
Couldn't that be God's plan?
Well, okay. Theoretically? Okay, we'll get back to that in a second. So I'll say to them, well, where did your ancestors come from? And they're like, well, Europe. You're still Europeans. Like, the fact that you just said there's still monkeys is so fucking stupid to me.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
If you're going to say that, then you need to understand that we've figured out that, like, there was a common ancestor at some point.
Yeah.
That like, one stayed in the trees and one went on the ground. And
just
the one that
like
went
snakes.
On the ground. Yes. The one that went on the ground was us.
Feet.
The one that stayed in the trees were monkeys. Like, I'm not saying, like, we fucked monkeys.
Pam into this. Yeah.
Pam.
Like,
oh, yeah.
But to your point before,
yeah.
About Richard Dawkins?
No, it was after that. We were going to get back to that. God's plan.
Yeah.
So my mother, who's extremely religious, constantly says, "Well, I'll pray for you," and I'm like,
"Well, that's either nice or not."
Well,
it can be so,
depends on
like
what
if
context.
I say I'll pray for
well,
you,
she,
then it's just,
she knows. She knows straight up. Like,
I think I've said that to you before.
Well.
I mean, you know, in so much as, like, I'll give you some prayers, like, if
well,
you need them. Cause some,
I'll take good thoughts,
yeah.
But, like, and I always say to my mom, because she's really easy to fuck with, is, why pray? And she goes, well...
That's a dick move.
Well, no.
It's funny, but it's
but,
a dick move.
And I'll finish the thought. She says, well, because, you know, I want good things for you. And I said, but you believe in God's plan. She said, yeah, everybody's where they exactly needs to be. So what's the point of praying?
No, that's not. I think that's bad thinking as far as a Christian goes. Because
okay.
I think that you have freedom of choice, which is what separates us from angels.
Okay.
So angels are created in God's image in the same way that humans are created in God's image.
Okay.
But they're completely different.
But they are like
a
celestial
character.
I mean, you've seen all this in Dogma. you know, they're not male nor female, yada, yada, yada.
Right.
So basically we're given blah, blah, blah through because of the Garden of Eden and yada, 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 believe it or not. But with that, you're giving free will.
Okay.
So you have the choice to do this, that, and the other. So I can see somebody, your mom, praying for you to make the right decision so that you can be happy, you know, to give you the strength of will to do something that might not be easy. I mean, you know, you now own your own home. That couldn't have been easy, which I would hope that your mom would pray for you then.
Well.
Or give you $10.
But
$10 wouldn't even pay for, like,
I don't know how much house
part
costs.
Of interest. Yeah.
It's a lot.
Sorry.
Okay. I mean, I understand that point, but like all the religious people that want to cherry pick the Bible and all that other shit, like
you can't.
Well, no, but they do.
Yeah, no,
they do.
They do.
But it's one book, like, and I believe that, you know, there are some scrolls that were missing.
That's crazy. I want to read those.
I want to read
that's
those
not,
too.
That's me being a really shit person. Not
because if that is also handpicking what is
exactly.
Is
and that,
God
that,
breathed or not?
That comes down the whole, like the Bible that everybody takes as fact was
yeah.
rewritten by a king that wanted to,
dictate.
You know.
That's translation, though, not actual.
That's
well,
King James yeah. version.
Right. But I don't know. I mean.
He's a masochist. Not a masochist, a misogynist.
Okay.
Very different.
Yeah, a little bit different. Just a little bit.
Okay.
You know,
I mean,
also
Bible
a
might have been a little bit different.
And a masochist? Richard Dawkins.
Oh, stop.
No, I'm just kidding. I don't like that dude.
So how do you feel about, like, Penn Jillette?
Oh, I think he's brilliant.
Penn Jillette's an anti-theist.
I know. But I think his arguments are well-crafted. I believe that he's thought all that through, and that's the decision that he's come to.
But he's a student of Richard Dawkins.
Well, then I'm wrong.
See?
He might be a student, but it doesn't mean that...
He's not cooler.
Well, I was just going to say, he took in and applied the thought process a little bit differently.
I think Richard Dawkins, from everything that I've seen, is just being British. He's very matter-of-factly, and whatever he thinks is correct, he's going to let you know.
I think, like, a lot of people who are atheists and scientists have been put down for so long by Christians that I can understand that backlash. I would hope that people would be better than that. But I've watched, unfortunately, Bill Nye, the science guy, you know, tell people that they're stupid if they believe in God. And I think
Go ahead. I was just going to say, one of his quotes says, I'm against religion because it teaches us to be satisfied with not understanding the world.
Well, I mean, okay. I understand that to a point, because as soon as you say, well, that's God.
See, that's not a good
answer. But you need to test your faith.
Well, exactly. But it's most Christians are satisfied with that.
Then that's a lazy-ass Christian. You punch that Christian in the crotch.
That's the sheep version of a Christian.
Yeah, and
but that seems to be a lot of what I encounter.
Yeah, no, that's a lot of what everybody encounters. That's a lot of what I encounter.
I mean, yeah, I mean, like I said, I've been told, if I believed in Buddha, if I believed in...
Why wouldn't you want those teachings, though?
But...
If it makes the world a better place, and it doesn't... as a Christian, like, say you go in as a Christian, if it doesn't reset your concentration on God, wouldn't it just strengthen that? To experience and to argue those points at some point? Because if your faith is so strong, then wouldn't you be able to walk up to a Muslim and be like, I want to talk to you about this?
Yes, and I agree with that.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, like saying to people that I'm an atheist,
mm-hmm.
and having somebody say,
we are going straight to hell.
Well, you can't threaten me with that because I don't believe it.
Yeah, hell. What the hell does that matter?
So,
no, but that's what you're going to get. People that have been told this.
Yes, exactly.
Not.
But who will look at me and be like, you're a worthless person.
No.
Like, I've had this said to me.
Then that's stupid.
I know.
But we're all God's creatures.
But I've been told, you know, I don't know how to talk to you because you obviously don't have any morals. I've been told, I've had people back away and say, well, because you're an atheist, you've got to be worse than, like, killers and rapists. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Right, that's
like, you don't know me.
I have issues with people trying to put Baphomet on the front steps of a courthouse. But I'll listen to their argument about it.
Well, I mean, there's a whole argument there for separation of church and state. Agreed. But,
yeah.
You know, all the Christians that I've seemed to encounter, with very few exceptions.
I hope we're a couple.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. Have been that sheep-like mentality where they don't want to get to know me. It's not about the person that I am and the choices I've made. It's the fact that I don't believe in the same thing that you do. And I've been told, like if I was Jewish, if I was Muslim, if I was Buddhist, if I was whatever, that'd be okay because I believed in something. But
incorrect.
Because I don't, they're like, you're a piece of shit. And it's like,
if they believe that you're an atheist and are a piece of shit, then if you're a Muslim or Jewish or whatever else, then you're a piece of shit as well, according to that line of thinking.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's very weird. It's one of those things, like, I struggle with. That's why I don't tell anybody anymore.
Yeah.
What
kind of reaction am I going to get from this person?
It's kind of the same thing that I experience as a Christian. You can't go and be like, hey, I'm going to church. And people are like, motherfucker, I'm going to church.
Well, I mean.
You're cursing.
But see, to me, I'm like, if that's what you need, if that's what you believe in, that's what you guys need, that's awesome. But don't look at me and be like, you're a piece of shit because you don't believe.
No. And I would hope to have these discussions further with you in order to either hope to get through, for lack of a better term, so please don't take offense to that, to you, and to, like, kind of broaden that sense of the world.
Right.
Not saying that, you know what I'm saying. Please understand what I'm saying.
Right.
Or to broaden my sense of the world and to reaffirm how I believe, or to bring me into some new line of thought.
Okay.
That's how I would want it.
Well, you're very rare, because the people that I have met, and it's always like, oh, what church do you go to? And it's...
I don't go to church.
Well, I used to... At some point, I don't want to hide. I don't want to hide who I am. I just,
well, yeah,
like,
and you shouldn't have to.
No, I shouldn't have to. So I'd be like, I don't go to church, I'm an atheist. And then all the shit started.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm like, yeah, we don't go to church.
Name them by name. No, I'm just kidding.
What's their address?
Yeah, give me your address.
I mean, a lot of them were when I lived in Arkansas. So,
well, there's your problem. Right?
But see, it was weird because
frog gigging state.
One of my close friends in Arkansas is a minister, and he would sit down and like he was there when it all went out the window, and I was like, I don't believe in any of this. Mm-hmm. And I sat down and I talked to him about it, and he was like, you don't have to believe, like, you can do whatever you want. And he was really cool about it, but everybody else was like,
that's because he knows his faith and his religion. Right. He's firm.
Right.
Yeah. Your lack of faith is not going to tear down his faith.
No, it's not going to dissuade him from believing in God.
Right. When people like, are scared.
Yeah. I'm scared. Look, I am scared shitless of dying. Like, the idea of closing my eyes
and not saying anything else,
and
ever
that
again.
Being it.
Who's the guy that was on CNN interviewing people? Shit, Larry King.
Right.
Sorry, did you hear that?
Yes.
Sorry about that. that was me being stupid and gesticulating. Larry King, super atheist.
Okay.
And yes. He's very, very scared of death. I'm like,
yes.
And he's like, got like 18 kids.
Like, will put me into a panic attack if I think about it too hard.
Don't.
Like I will shake and cry and do all the shit.
Yeah.
I can kind of feel it right now. I don't.
I'm holding your hand.
Thanks.
Yeah. Do you need a hug? I will hug you.
No, I'm fine. you know, the thought of dying and never seeing my kid again,
yeah.
That scares the shit out of me. But in my mind, there's no evidence for me to believe that there's anything after this.
Sure.
And, you know, people say that they're scared, and I understand why people believe in the afterlife, mm-hmm. because it's a scary proposition to die.
I don't believe in the afterlife because I'm scared, though. In the same way that I don't think you are afraid of dying only because
you went and see.
Yeah.
Again.
I mean, I'm scared of dying on days, but, you know, and it's affirming at times to think of, well, there is an afterlife and whatnot.
Right.
But that's not, I think that's a dime store Christian. To kind of go, oh, okay, well, everything's going to be better, and to kind of shelter themselves and everything, to not experience life,
right.
Because, you know.
Well, no, I mean, I went through a year of like panic attacks because I couldn't deal with it, and I still like it was my midlife crisis, and it was when I turned 41. Like,
and you're how old now?
42. I'm about to be 43. So
why didn't you call me?
Well, that's part of the issue.
Because of me?
Yes, because of you. No.
He's closing himself.
The day when I turned 40, it was fine. Like,
yeah.
I had no issues whatsoever. 41, the day I turned 41, I started to have these thoughts. And they lasted until the day I turned 42. Like, at night, just shaking because, like, what if I close my eyes and this is it?
Yeah.
And it's slowly gotten better. Like, the last, well, I'll be 43 next month, but the last year has kind of tapered off. I still have those thoughts, and I still think about that. And if I think too hard, I'll have a panic attack.
Back there. Yeah,
and I can go right back.
Yeah.
But I've kind of accepted, like, you got to make the most of the time now, and blah, 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 and do all this stuff.
That's how Christians should be.
Well,
because what if they're wrong? You know, then you're like, if you haven't lived your life, then you're 100% screwed at that.
Right, exactly.
What about regrets?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Regrets.
So, yeah, I mean.
No regrets.
Yeah, not to bring this all down to one of the things that like I really should have gone. Well, I really should have gone and talked to like a therapist or somebody, but I was so scared of like how do I express this without sounding stupid? Like the last year has been expressing that and being like, I realize that I need help and like talking to people and like trying
and
to.
You going to and I'm sorry.
I was gonna say, and you can find somebody that's obviously like-minded.
Right.
You know, somebody that's.
Have you thought about going to a Christian therapist?
No.
I know that sounds weird, but I mean that's always what I recommend. Somebody, this is a theory of mine
because
I feel like, my parents sent me to a Christian therapist after high school.
Okay.
Because they're like, you're super depressed all the time. She's like, all right, you're better now. I mean, if you need to come back, come see me and everything else. But, I mean, you're not done with whatever you're just done with processing
through.
This part of your life. This is done now. If you need to come back, new chapter. And that's kind of how I feel like the Christian counselors that I know, the Christian therapists that I know, kind of function that way. It's like, to get you through this time, to give you the tools that you need to get through this
time. It's not going
to
make you better for the rest of your life. It's just
getting you through. I feel like a lot of non-Christian therapists, not that I've met personally, just theoretically in my head, just my theory, is that they want to keep you there for as long as they possibly can. And so that's like a few couples that I know that have had marriage troubles and whatnot. I've always recommended
marriage, even Christian if they aren't believers, specifically.
No, I mean, I still feel like
you can always argue that with them if you want.
I mean, I still feel like I need to seek professional help because I'm not there yet. Like,
this isn't doing it for you?
No. And I mean, I've had talks with John off air and like
all about your penises.
My parents and like people at work and like struggling with this, and that has helped, but I think I need somebody who doesn't know me to bounce this shit off of so that they can be like, look, this is like, I know that there's still always going to be that fear because of the way that I think, but at some point I need to be able to be okay with it.
Got to manage it.
Yeah. And that's what I don't know. Those are the things that I don't know at this point.
And that's how everybody feels. I don't care if you believe in afterlife or not. You're always freaked out by it. It's just, that's what made me years and years ago when I was, a teenager, still scared of the dark. Like, I was watching all these horror movies and I'm like, somebody's going to grab me from this bush. I'm going to do this, or a dog's going to attack me, or this, that, and the other. And I just, it was like, and then what?
And then,
right.
So what?
Okay. You get attacked by a dog. What are you going to do about it? You're going to run a little faster right now? I can either be so freaked out, and this doesn't include my entire life because I'm still kind of stuck in a sort of arrested development. Right. But, I'm walking down the street at night, I'm not worried about somebody mugging me as much.
And this past year has truly been like, not every waking thought is of dying. Yeah. Like, that whole year it was like...
Yeah.
Go ahead. Your dad?
What?
Do you mind if we bring him up in part?
No, that's fine.
He's
about to turn
64?
He was born in 53, so...
64
is what he's going to be.
He is
on Thursday.
A Thursday or like a week beyond Thursday or like a few weeks from now, he will be the oldest living member of his immediate family.
Nobody's ever turned 64. Wow. Everybody has died at 63.
Wow.
Or younger,
yeah.
And so he's freaking the hell out.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure. I mean, the older that I get, the more I freak out. But like, I'm only 42.
Yeah.
Like, technically, hopefully, I'm only at the halfway point, but I'm still halfway.
You do look a little like Ernest Hemingway.
And that scares the shit out of me. Like the thought of more days behind than ahead.
Yeah, I'm gonna
but then out. You've just, got this like sinking feeling on your shoulders. It's just like,
yeah,
what the
and
hell
it just
do?
Brings you down.
That was a whole year.
So it's like
it was a whole year of that.
Break that off so that you, because you do have the rest of your life to live.
Right.
So it's like stressing out about it.
Do as much shit as possible.
Everything you want to do and can do.
And that's why I I bought 3D printers and I'm doing shit that I want to do because that's got to be me. Because
it's literally, you live once.
Yes.
Like,
for me, a couple breakups ago, which you know about, that was for me, I was like, I need to do stuff.
Right.
Like, I need to, because I'll hole up. Right. I'll just hole up in my room and I'll watch movies all the time because I don't know if you know this. I like movies and I like lists.
You like movies?
Uh-huh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
I basically was like, okay, well, I want to go to the movies. How am I going to go to the movies? We'll go on Saturday if it's an IMAX feature. We'll go on Tuesday if it's not an IMAX feature.
Right.
So if we want to see it on the big screen and enjoy it with the full sound, we can do that. But every Tuesday, we go to the movies, whether it's a good movie or not.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to see The Circle this Tuesday.
Okay.
To put this particular podcast in time, so that 5 years from now, people go, the what? But I started a book club because I was like, I want to read more. I want to write more. So I started a writing club.
Right. It's time management.
Yeah.
Appropriating things, making sure that you have time to do everything that you want to do. And Brandon likes hitting things.
Yeah, sorry.
So we'll put that on the schedule.
Well, it's also part of like the 5-year goal thing. Like you have to have goals.
I just wanted to read more.
Well, yeah, but that's a goal.
That's a goal.
Is that a goal?
You're like, I want to read 100 books this year. Can I read 100 books this year?
52,
I don't know.
52 books, I think is what
I wanted to. Even if you were reading one. Yeah. Like, I want to read more. If you read one more than last year,
yeah,
that's a goal.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, just this year, like, since I've been home, I've read 19 books since January.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just about doing more and about appropriating time.
Right.
You know, yeah. So even if I had a job, walking into that job, I'll be better prepared walking out the door at night than I am now.
Right.
Than I was, like, a year ago when I had that job.
So, you know, I have taken steps. Like, I consider myself fortunate. Like, I had a midlife crisis that didn't involve me buying a sports car.
It didn't involve
me, like, cheating on my wife.
Yeah.
Like, none of that shit happened. It was...
Your wife would kill you.
It was... Yeah, I don't think she'd care at this point.
You don't think she'd care?
I don't know.
She's listening to this podcast right now.
No, she doesn't. Please. No, so...
Right now.
So, in that year, we did two videos.
Yeah.
I'm ready to do more. I know.
Yeah.
That you guys were heavily involved in. I got new hobbies. I did more things than I had ever done.
Yeah.
Like
pushing yourself outside of your comfort zone.
Yes. Yes. As shitty as 2016 was for a lot of people, I did a lot of shit that I wouldn't have done had I not been in that situation.
Yeah.
And I consider that fortunate. Like,
I had a bad year that year.
Yeah.
Because I got let go from my job, our job. But, like, I was sitting out on the back porch one day, and my mom goes, "You look happier now than you've ever been." And I go, you know, I'm thinking, because, like, within 2 weeks, I had lost my job and my girlfriend.
Right.
Of 6 months, a year, or something like that. And so I was just like, okay, this is a little bit much. So, you know, with mom just coming out on the back porch, you know, there's times we talked about this tonight. Mom will be like, "I liked your Brussels sprouts." They were good Brussels sprouts. Mom actually liked them.
Caramelized balsamic.
Yeah, caramelized balsamic vinegar. Three tablespoons balsamic vinegar.
Okay.
One tablespoon of olive oil.
Garlic.
a teaspoon of garlic, a teaspoon of pepper, and then you just cover it.
Put it all together.
And think 425, 45 minutes.
Okay.
Delicious.
Awesome Brussels sprouts. If they're frozen. If they're not frozen, then you may only want to do 35 minutes.
Okay.
It was an excellent recipe. That notwithstanding. This is a cooking show, right?
Yes, absolutely. Okay.
But yeah, mom, you know, just came up to me and off the cuff goes, "You look happier now than you ever have been." And I'm like, okay. I don't feel that way, but I look like there was less stress than the last 6 years before that.
Right.
Because the job wasn't particularly easy.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I mean, I feel fortunate that all that stuff happened to me. Like,
I'm happy that kind of happened to you too, because of all that we started talking again.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and it's one of those things. It's like, life's too short to hold grudges, to like not talk to people that you like and all that kind of shit. I mean,
you like me?
A little bit.
Okay.
No, don't get a swelled head, man.
It's bro love.
You're bro here because John's not here. Okay. Just, no, I'm kidding.
I still want to meet John at some point.
I know, but I mean. If you look at the last year of my life, with all the stuff that we did, all the stuff, I bought a house.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of it was predicated on, too, like in the last year, I lost 35 pounds.
Really?
Because I want to live longer. Like as an atheist, I'm fighting for every minute.
Yeah.
I don't get suicide. I don't get people that are like, "I don't want to be here." Yeah. I'm fighting for every second that I can, and every second that I can spend with my kid. And like, it was one of those things of like, I can continue on the way I am, or I could lose some weight and maybe add some time to the end of this. So
podcast?
Yes, to the podcast.
Good.
So I mean, it really has been like setting goals and being like, you know,
the
what?
Life change.
This year we're going to buy a house.
Yeah.
We bought a house. Like, we did whatever.
How long between that decision and actually purchasing?
6 months. So what happened was we were going to, in the beginning of 2016, we were going to start looking. And then we needed our tax return in order to
start looking,
to push us over the edge so that we could start looking. The state of South Carolina last year held back all of the tax returns because they were trying to weed out, like, people that were abusing the system or whatever. Like,
Jesus.
I did my taxes in like February.
You should file my taxes.
You should probably file your taxes.
we filed in February. They held off until like end of April. To release all the funds. By that time, we had to sign another 6-month lease on the apartment. So I said to my wife, I was like, we'll take that. We'll start looking in the summer.
Yeah.
And by fall, by the time
we're done,
by the time our anniversary comes around, we'll be in a house.
Yeah.
And she goes, you promise? I said, yes, absolutely. We had a 3-month window of looking for a house, putting a bid on, closing on the house before we had to be out of the apartment. We closed on this house on our anniversary.
Aww.
So
you got the deadline.
So hit the deadline, got the house, all within 6 months. So, you know, nice. It just becomes like, what do I want to do now? Like,
yeah.
And that's how I'm getting over all this. It's
making goals and
it's looking at goals through. And looking at things. And like, I had this space up here and mm-hmm. I said, what can I do that I can do by myself and get results out of?
Yeah.
And the first thought was I wanted to build cosplay armor. Like,
I've literally just bought mom books for cosplay armor.
Right. So I wanted to do like foam armor and like cut it out of the floor mats.
Huge floor matting.
And yes. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to do that. And then no, because what ended up happening was John was going.
What does John have to do with this? No, I'm just kidding.
So he was going somewhere. And I said, look for prop replicas, like for replica kits.
It's a Comic Con or something.
Yeah, it was some convention he was going to.
Yeah.
And he said, "What do you want?" And I said, "I really want a Star-Lord gun."
You got that?
No.
You didn't get that?
No.
That's not a Star-Lord gun.
Okay, it doesn't matter.
So I have a Malcolm Reynolds
maybe that's
pistol.
Something. Yeah, yeah.
Which is the first thing that I finished in this room. And he came back and he said they didn't have any kits. So I started looking around online. And on Etsy, they're selling 3D printed kits for like $180.
Jeez.
So I was like, okay, I don't really have $180 to spend on one thing.
Right. Yeah.
So let me look around for other kits. And then I found the model that they were printing off of for free. It's an STL model, which is what you print off of.
Yeah.
And I was like, what would it cost me to buy a 3D printer?
Yeah.
Because then not only can I make that, but I can make everything else.
Mm-hmm.
So the one that I bought, the first one, the little white one, was $200. I was like, that I can afford.
Yeah.
So I started doing that and making model, like prop replicas of things. And now I'm like, I'm just on this tear of like, like, okay, I looked online and I went to, our development has one of those Facebook pages where people sell shit.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a woman who I guess had gone and bought a storage unit and was selling all these things. And in it was that 3D printer.
The second one.
It was a larger bed, like better quality.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a $500 printer.
Yeah.
And
still that's...
And I wrote to her and I said, how much do you want for the printer? And she goes, well, we're not really sure how to price it because it's new in the box. And I said, okay, here's my problem. There's no warranty. And these kits are known to have
issues.
Parts defects. That don't work, missing parts. And I can't go to the manufacturer and say, this is who I bought it from. This is my warranty.
You have to replace that part.
I would have to replace that part. And she said, let me talk it over with my husband. And I said, okay, that's fine.
That's fair.
And she came back and she said, the lowest will go. Or she said, make an offer and we'll tell you whether or not we'll take it. And I said, I don't want to lowball you. I don't want to say something that's so ridiculously low that you're just like, no.
Yeah.
And so she goes, all right, let me go back. And she came back the second time and she goes, the lowest will go is $125. Knowing that that's a $500 printer, I was like, okay, I can do 125 and risk that. They just wanted to get rid of it at that point. They're never going to put it together. They don't know how to put it together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
they had opened it to see what it was and was like, there's like a bag of bolts that were like the size of like a softball.
Right, right.
So they're like, they just wanted to get rid of it. So I talked her into bringing it to my work because she worked in Mount Pleasant.
Sweet.
So,
Jesus.
So I said, look, it was right before I had to go down to the thing in Orlando this year. And I said, I can't leave for lunch on this particular day. I'm leaving for Orlando like in 2 days. Is there any way you can bring it to me? Otherwise we have to wait like a week.
Yeah.
And she goes, where do you work? And I told her, and she goes, yeah, I'll be there on my lunch. Okay. So I had it delivered for $125. And I was like, well, fuck, now I can make anything I want.
Yeah.
I
mean, and the money you would have spent on that one thing.
Yeah. I can now, I'm making all kinds of shit now.
Yeah.
Lightsabers and masks and all kinds of shit. So like,
that's cool.
Lightsaber masks.
Like, yes. I have literally like really turned shit around and been like, all right, I'm just going to do all the stuff, what I'm really interested in. And
I feel like someone just got murdered downstairs. Yeah,
maybe, possibly, you know, she's Puerto Rican. So
what you're having for dinner.
No, she doesn't. I swear to God, she doesn't.
She's so, gonna start.
Yeah. So I mean, it just became like that's how I got out of my funk, was starting to do all this other shit. And like making the videos that we did helped do that, and you know,
such a
doing
blast
stuff that makes you happy.
That.
I have like I had the
I'm still friends with everybody who's in that video.
Are you?
Yeah. Except for that one girl.
Chastity,
yeah.
You're still friends with her or you're not?
Yeah, I'm friends with her. She lost her brother for a while, but they found her. Him.
Well, is it to her now? Or?
I think he ran away.
Oh,
for a little
gosh.
Bit.
So, I mean, like that idea and the one that you and I were in, mm-hmm. those were in my head forever. Like I've been planning out that.
And that was it, because we haven't done another one.
Well, so those were the two things that I had in my head that I really, really wanted to get out.
Okay.
And as soon as I did them, I was like, all right, let's take a step back and figure out something else for a little while. But now I'm starting to get that itch again. So
yeah,
it's coming.
Well, that's the same way it is with me. Like I get these ideas percolate in like different points. So like the first script that I wrote, which is the only script that I've ever written, like it's a full length feature film,
right,
is like all these scenes popped into my head and I'm like, okay, I can do this, and then I have to figure out how to connect them. Is it worth that connection, you know, when I get these scenes done? And it was, finally,
right?
So it ended up being pretty good, I think. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I understand, to get that done. And I'm, you know, 37 now, so I'm literally like middle age. You know, because you're 72 is it, supposedly. So
well, that's it.
People are lasting longer these days.
I hope so, because otherwise I'm screwed.
Aww.
Just got to make it to the what the fuck do they call it?
Pearly gates?
No.
You wouldn't know that, atheist.
Retirement age?
Nope. The singularity, where you can download your consciousness into the internet.
Like, oh, yeah.
Forever.
I gotcha.
That idea is based on the whole idea of the singularity, but like there are people working on that to where like you never have to die.
Whenever I hear singularity, I think of a children's book that I read when I was a kid, where these kids went and found this magic orb in a shed out back of their home. So they, whenever they walked into the shed, that singularity would actually cause time to go faster wherever they were. So 1 second outside would equal an entire day inside.
Okay.
Or vice versa. So they would like be in there for years, and then come out and it'd be like 5 minutes later.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, I never read that book.
Nope.
Sorry.
I have never met anybody else who has.
Did you write this book, Brandon?
Are you sure this book exists?
Is it like,
is this a dream?
My song that I made up.
Oh, you're an idiot, and asshole.
You're. Oh.
Whoa.
Whoa. And you can't see me, but I am now punching him.
Tell them about your famous song that you wrote.
No, I won't.
Would you tell me about your song?
Yeah, I will.
Okay.
So, I made up the song when I was in the pool.
Mm-hmm, she did. She's a good song. You may have heard of it.
You know, ooh baby, do you know what that's worth? Ooh baby, there's a place on heaven is a place on earth.
Oh.
Then I walked into a jewelry store and heard it playing. And I was like, that bitch stole my song. Damn Belinda Carlisle.
Are you sure you hadn't heard the song before?
Nope.
Oh, she 100% did that.
I had never heard it before. She stole my song. because the only thing that my mom ever listened to was Christian music and country.
There is nothing, if there is a reason to become an atheist, it is Christian rock.
Oh, gosh.
I grew up on Barry Manilow and Chuck Mangione.
That's
all the people that my, parents
listen
to.
There's a lot to be said about their musicality, but there is so little to be said about Christian rock, unfortunately. I've tried to like it. I just can't do it.
What about Christian metal? What about Stryper?
No. Oh, that is... Do you like Stryper?
There's a couple songs that...
is in the same way that Jars of Clay had a couple
Jars
of
Clay was Jars a mainstream.
Clay. Okay.
Jars of Clay.
Gone Christian.
My Jewish friend, my best friend in high school is Jewish. And so he's like, I have this Jars of Clay album if you want it. Why don't you want it? Yeah, they're a Christian.
They're a Christian.
A lot of people didn't figure that out. Sixpence None the Richer. Christian band.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. I heard that at one point Evanescence was a Christian band or something.
So was Katy Perry.
Well, she kissed a girl and she liked it.
So. That's what happened.
I liked that she liked it.
Yeah, hey.
I liked her liking it.
Whatever.
So the so how that connects to Jim Carrey and the Cable Guy.
Yes, I don't know.
Is
42.
Way to bring that all back around.
That's what we do in an hour.
Okay.
That's why we do.
And it is an hour, so exactly. There you go. All right, so we're going to stop here, and then we'll pick back up. Next week, we're going to talk Guardians of the Galaxy.
I'm excited.
Volume 2.
Wait, we didn't talk about Volume 1.
You can if you want.
But yeah, we're good. That's next week, so.
All right. All right, so if you want to get in touch with us, do you guys have anything to plug before I go nuts?
Percy Patchett.
Okay.
On YouTube, I think it's percypatchett@gmail.com. If you're going to write me, I'm not.
Or hashtag Mr. Higgins.
Mm-hmm. If you want to write me, just write me at heyjude1980@hotmail.com.
And I am Kristen, and I'm on Twitter at SUD1183.
Okay, and if you want to get in touch with me, it's info@dancemonkeypodcast.com. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, all that good shit, and let us know you're listening. So until next week, this is Chris.
I'm Brandon.
Kristen.
Have a good week.